ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 24. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You put a tract in your pocket, God will give you somebody to give anything to. Because he's in a redemptive mission mode right now. Remember, book of Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to preach. In the greatest day of missionary outreach, there was not more than 70,000 missionaries. It was right after World War II. Most of them were sent from the United States. Men went overseas, still had a heart for God to some degree. Saw the deprivations, the poverty, and they felt moved of God to go and preach. And many of them became missionaries. But in the tribulation, 144,000, double the highest of the high missionary outreach ever, are going to be preaching. Not only that, but you're going to have two witnesses poking a finger in the eye of the Antichrist for about 3.5 years. And they're going to all be miserable because of those preachers in the whole world, because everybody's going to put a Zoom lens on them and watch them on their devices and on their TVs, and they'll be making news every day. Because everybody wants to make the Antichrist pull the trigger on them, I believe. And as a result of that, that'll keep it in the news. And eventually he will pull the trigger and he will kill them, but they won't stay dead. That's pretty cool. Okay, they won't stay dead. God's going to raise them up, just like we said a moment ago. He could raise us up if need be, as he did Dorcas. The Bible says that there's going to be this gospel of the kingdom preached in all the world for a witness. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not go down. Now, understand, this is where he says, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. You see, the tribulation gives way to the great tribulation. And that great tribulation is pretty much signaled, if you will, by the fact that the Antichrist sits in the Holy of Holies. We saw that last week where he sits in the holiest place. He declares himself to be God and so forth. Now, when you read that, you think, wow, that's intense. And yes, it is. That's why it goes from tribulation to great tribulation. Because it's intense. And God goes from tribulation to great tribulation. This is when Judea, for the first time, is being signaled to flee from Judea. And he gives all kinds of circumstances you don't want to be true when that day comes. But for you, for me today, understand this, that this is the signaling from terrorism to tribulation to great tribulation. Each of these things are mentioned in a kind of a linear fashion. These things are existing. But if you want to go through your Bible, you can find many, many places, probably the greatest of which is the book of Revelation itself. Starting with chapter 6, you begin to see the tribulation. The church is raptured out in chapter 4. You're in heaven in chapter 4 and 5. And then you've got the tribulation on earth. And it's going to be a bad day. There's going to be trumpets. There's going to be bowls. And there's going to be seals. And it's just going to be a crazy time on this earth. Things are going to go so sideways. So he says, this is a time of great tribulation. Now, I do want to draw your attention to verse 20 before he says, great tribulation. He says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, the reason I believe that's written there is because it's the time of Jacob's trouble that's in view. And these are Israelites who have been given back a temple. They're going to have a temple. That's what the Antichrist is going to sit in. They don't have one right now, but it would take them no time to build one. And they're probably given a little bit of time. And in that time, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 12 as well, that the Antichrist is going to make sacrifice and oblation or drink offerings and so forth cease. And then he's going to declare himself to be God. That's when the Antichrist desecrates the temple. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation, stand in a holy place. He says, then get out of Dodge. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, which was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You think it's been bad now. You think maybe the Holocaust was bad, and it was, but it's not going to be anything comparable to this that is coming upon the whole earth. It says, the whole earth is going to be affected by it. And the Bible says, except those days be shortened in verse 22, no flesh shall be saved. Now, I want you to look at that. Underline the words, there should be no flesh saved. No flesh saved. Underline those words. Why? Well, because that just shows you the resolve of evil. Do you think China would mind if all of it, American people would be killed? That'd be a gift. Be a good day. Be a good day's work. There'd be no bullets even needed if this virus did its nasty in our midst. Listen, ours is not to stir ourselves up militantly. That's the government's job. We are not the government. We are the people of God. We do have a government of the people, by the people, for the people, so we have to make our voices known. But as Christians, we have a higher citizenship, and we need to love. And that means we worry about every single soul, because not one soul should have to go to hell if they're in our circle. We should be able to get them a word. We are trying to get it through. The gates of hell should not be able to prevail against you and me. But what I want you to realize is that with your eyes in your head, you know what's coming, just like Paul knew what was coming. When he looked at Rome, Jesus knew what was coming. When he looked at Rome, and Herod was apparently trying to get him, and he said, tell that old fox I got 3 days or so, and then I'll be rising again and all that. And he gave a quick prophecy. What I'm saying to you is that we don't want to entangle ourselves, as Timothy is told, with the affairs of this world to the point where we forget our enlistment to the king of the world. We need to remember whose we are. And so I don't say these things to stir you up against this or that. I say this to say this is what the Bible says is going to happen. And it says that the whole world would destroy itself if it were left up to them. They would rather destroy it all than bow the knee to holy Jesus. The Bible says there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, they should be shortened. Now, how is it shortened? Well, I'm going to tell you, and maybe down the road, some few will be looking for Jesus a little early in the tribulation if they ever hear this message in that day. But you know, we have a 365-day year, and they in Israel have a 360-day year. If the Antichrist starts reading, as I believe he will, just like it was asked, where will this king of the Jews be born? And they said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The words were there. They could look it up, and they could look at all the things that had been written. Now, with all this information on the Internet, they can Google it and find things out. Well, I want you to know that it's not going to be 7 years of 365 days. It's going to be 7 years of 360-day years. And I'm not going to try to justify that to you right now, but there's going to be shortening there, if nothing else. And that way we find God saying it was 7 years, and it is 7 years, even though it's shortened. Okay, you get both satisfied. How could he say 7 years and he's going to shorten it and it not be 7 years? He said it was going to be 7 years. No, he's got his plan, and I love it when he does stuff like that because it's exciting. Yes, go ahead. That's good stuff. All right. The Bible says in verse 23, then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, don't go to them. Why? Because many false prophets are going to come. Notice in verse 24, they're going to show signs and wonders. That's important. Again, to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Now, deceiving the very elect. Think about that. It says God got some way of preserving us from being completely deceived. But the Bible says over and again in the epistles during the church age, be not deceived, brethren, because it is possible for you and I to be deceived. Understand this as well. If you're deceived, you don't know it. So that's why you ought to open your day every day thinking, Lord God, help me to love and help me to see clearly. Because it's very much the devil's job to try to deceive us. And one of the ways he deceives believers is to get us completely entangled in political activity rather than spiritual activity. You see, if you're absorbed with the political and not with the spiritual, you give up a whole lot of time. And we can't be giving up a whole lot of time. That doesn't mean you can't use the political to segue to the spiritual. And I think that's probably a wise use of the thing. But do not get caught up in the anger and the angst of the political side and ask yourself, what was I even thinking about the spiritual? You and I have to be real careful. If you're more animated about political things than you are about spiritual things, can I say to you, it's time to pray. Get in your closet and say, God, fix this. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what you want from me. You don't want me to be angry politically. You want me to be animated spiritually. That's what he wants. And if it's not, and you know, this is an easy one, right? The mirror is easy to discern. So let's get more fired up about Christ and his kingdom and souls and get on God's page, and we'll be much more peaceful as a result. The Bible says in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming? He says it's going to be like lightning. He says when he comes, he's going to come like lightning. It's going to come with the clouds. The Bible says in verse 28, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered." Do you see what he just did? He went right to the end of the tribulation, and he told them about his coming, and he told them about the great supper of our God, which is where the birds are called to eat all of the carnage and get rid of the battlefield nasty so that we can get on with the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the great supper of our God is for the birds, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is for the believers and for the new generation that will go into the millennial kingdom. Verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days." See what he did? He just backtracked a little bit, just a little bit, because he's not going away from it. But he's saying all this stuff is going to happen. And here's a synopsis of some of the things that are going to happen before he comes and before the birds are coming to eat the carnage. The Bible says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light." It says, "The stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man." Now notice, he's just given them the coming of the Lord's picture, and then now he's saying that the sign of the coming of the Son of Man is there as well. So he just went back over it in a quick review. After the tribulation, you have the Great Tribulation. And the Great Tribulation is where the bold judgments are poured out, and that is what is entailed in that quick synopsis in verse 29. So we see, "Then they shall see the Son of Man coming." Look at this. It says, "They shall see." The entire earth and the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Why? Well, not because they missed him, because this is the entire earth, but because they missed heaven. It will be completely clear to them that they are lost. They are lost. He's going to get to the separating of the sheep and the goats here in a minute, but these people who are mourning are going to be people who are mourning over their own sin. Now, we also know that Israel is going to see him, and they're going to mourn, but they're going to mourn for him as an only son. They're going to look at him and think, he was our Messiah all along, and what were we thinking? And what were our fathers thinking? And they're going to mourn, but the earth is going to mourn, perhaps for their own destruction, which would be now very much inevitable. And the Bible says in verse 30, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Wow, what a day that's going to be. "And he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." Now, this is very important. I just want to distinguish this for you. Many times you'll read about how the Bible tells us, and it tells us on down. I'm going to skip a little bit to get to it. Verse 40 says, "Then shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken." That's where this picks up the thought. The rest is parenthetical. He gives them a parable of the fig tree, right? But this is where it gets parenthetical. Get that out of the way, and he gets back on track and says, "Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left." What's that taken? It's not the rapture. That's when Jesus comes to gather the people together and then separates them as the sheep from the goats. In other words, these angels are gathering all the people who were enduring, and he's going to say, "Welcome to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth." And that's in chapter 25.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.